Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. Today, we are talking with the folks from The Gathering Place, which is a wonderful facility that provides enrichment programs for the community with an emphasis on adults who have developmental or other disabilities. And Linda Ferris joins us. Welcome, Linda. You are the executive director of
Gathering Place.
The Gathering Place.
Thank you very much for having us.
We're so excited to talk to you about. And you brought with you as well, if you wouldn't mind introducing your...
We have a brand new employee who is going to help me so much. And his name is Mike Cosin. He's here from California, and he actually worked as program director for a program for adults with disabilities in Atascadero. Well, that's many years.
Exciting. Well, welcome, Mike. Glad
Thank
to have you,
you
here
Glad
as well.
Glad to be here as well.
So, Linda, tell our listeners a little bit about the history of the Gathering Place. How did it come to be?
Gathering Place started in 1994 after our daughter, Megan, graduated from Port Townsend High School at the age of 21. We came to Port Townsend about 2 years previous because we were looking into Megan's future. Where could we be a safe place, be somewhere where she could have fun. And we had lived in Seattle, and that was not a fun place. We didn't even know our neighbors. That was 1973 when she was born, and people with disabilities were just put in the institutions at that time. And it's a little fearful when you have somebody with a disability and the neighbors don't really know how to interact with you, so they just stay away. Mm. You know, we had very little contact with most of our neighbors when she was young. She went through many grades in Seattle of her education and didn't learn very much. So we began looking around and came upon Port Townsend because some of our friends came here and invited us up to be on their boat for the weekend. And we started reading the newspaper and discovered a wonderful special education teacher in the high school named Jim Westall, who is now famous for starting the Skookum, then Jump Rope Company.
Mm-hmm.
And I came and talked to Jim. We brought our daughter up here, and it seemed like a very wonderful place for us to move, really for her future. And so she had 2 years at the high school before she finished. And then you say, as a parent, and what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
Because there really was nothing. There was nothing in Seattle either.
I wonder what it was like to be out in the Olympic Peninsula with a special needs or a developmentally disabled young adult. And Seattle was also challenged to meet the needs of a young adult out of high school as well, huh?
Because there hadn't been. Megan actually was kind of the leading edge of people with disabilities getting into the community, first of all, into the education system. I think it was the year she was born was the first year that they could go to the high school or go to the school system.
To be mainstreamed, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So the Gathering Place is an actual physical location that you established out of the need to provide. What is it that you were looking for Megan in particular? Or what was your vision of the Gathering Place when you were kind of initially starting out?
Well, I am an elementary education teacher, and so of course I'm always looking for activities and socialization for all the students. Mm-hmm. And then when we were up here, I'm going, how are these people with disabilities even going to get together? Because after they're out of high school, they're either in their homes or they were in group homes here, and they really didn't have a way to really socialize and maintain their skills. So that was really my motivation, was seeing if we could even maintain their skills, behaviors. So we started with a very simple program of arts and crafts, and we would take walks, and we met up at the community center.
And that's where you were first located.
In 1996, we had our first classes. And so we were there until about 2000 when I said, I'm tired of hauling all the supplies in and out because we had no storage. We just had to set up.
You had to be a portable program.
Wow. And I We discontinued the program for about a year. We had classes out at our house, or we would meet in a park just every once in a while until I could figure out what we were going to do. And again, I was in Hawaii. I have a very strong attraction or connection with Hawaii. And I went there, and, you know, just for a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up one morning and I went, we've got to find a place. So all of a sudden, I remembered that Skookum and Jim Westall had set up their program down at the Port of Port Townsend. So as soon as I got home, I went and talked to Jim, and he sent me over to the, what are they called?
The Port Commissioner or the,
yeah,
the Port of Port Townsend.
Port of Port Townsend mm-hmm. staff and administration. Mm-hmm. And I just told them, you know, what I was doing, who we were serving, and that was such a great need, and just wondered if they had any place that maybe they could set up a portable or something for us. And they kind of looked at each other, and he said, let me get back to you in a couple weeks. And I went, couple weeks? Anyway, they met me down at 430 Hudson Street, where our program is now. They said this has been vacant for a year at least, and they wondered if that would fit our needs.
Oh, my word.
So, of course, my eyes got really big as saucers, and we went in, and that was two stories. There was
It's a beautiful
many
facility.
Rooms.
Yeah.
Being that it was Victorian, it just kind of fit in with, you know, everything in town, and we were able to set up a wonderful program.
What year was this when you moved into the
It's about 2003.
Okay.
And the interesting part of it is they put us on a 30-day lease. So we've been on a 30-day lease for 15 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And cross our fingers.
No kidding.
We're still
every
there.
Every month you renegotiate your lease.
Well, we just knew that they could give us 30 days notice.
Sure, sure.
But we became established, and we've had one of the parents put in a garden, 16 raised bed garden, organic garden that we feed our cooking class from. And then we got some money for a greenhouse from the Master Gardeners, and that's helped a lot.
You've had some wonderful partnerships. I want to back up a little bit. When you first started your program, you had how many participants when you were doing it at the park and at the community center? How many participants were you able to serve?
We started out with 4 participants. Mm-hmm. And remember, we did not have much money.
Right.
So we were all volunteer staff at that point, 2 of us, and then we had 4 participants. And in the summer, there were people in the group homes here. And, of course, they were doing nothing because school was out. So mm-hmm. I got a call from the disabilities coordinator here in town mm-hmm. and wanted to know if 9 of their people could come to our program.
Oh, my goodness. You quadrupled.
Yes.
You had 9. And so at this point, do you have a building, or are you still portable?
No, we were. We actually were meeting at the rec center downstairs.
Okay.
And they offered us a little bit of money, which was nice for about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then we had 12 people in our program, and we did all kinds of things, and it was really fun. Some of them had pretty challenging behaviors, but we were able to make them happy, give them something to do that they were enjoying, and then the behaviors tend to disappear if they're really engaged in something they're interested in.
Now, fast forward, you have, you're in this building, and just to help our listeners understand a little bit of the scope of what you do, what is the geographic range in which you serve? Like, how far do some of your participants come?
Well, it's Jefferson County, generally speaking, mm-hmm. and we have some who come from down the Port Ludlow way,
mm-hmm.
and at times we've had people come from Squim.
Mm.
It's a drive. Of
sure,
course, but
sure.
It's a pretty wide area all around Port Townsend and Jefferson County.
And then how
Discovery
many,
Bay.
Oh, my. And then how many participants do you have now?
We have about 30 participants on our roll. They don't all come at the same time. They pick and choose which classes they would like to come to. And the interesting thing is we're also serving the Chimicum High School students that are in the transition program from 18 to 21.
Let's talk about the programs that you're currently doing. I felt so fortunate to be able to pop in and get a look at, you know, the things that you do. And I think our listeners would be just overwhelmed by the range of what you offer. So you have on Mondays, you have cooking
classes and getting a lot of the produce from the gardens. On Tuesdays, we have art class. On Thursdays, we have advanced art class in the afternoon and a really wonderful music and movement class in the morning. On Fridays, we do our famous dog biscuits.
I was going to say, that's regionally well known. And where can one get these dog biscuits?
Well, mainly we like to have them come to the farmers market and get them there, because then we can interact with our customers, mm-hmm. and if they have questions. They can also be purchased at the food co-op, mm-hmm. Quimper Mercantile, Gettables, the candle store.
And now, do the participants help you sell them at the farmers market? And that's a really great social skill and socializing opportunity, isn't it?
Not many come to the farmers market. It's a small booth. But if they do come, they usually bring their other things that they make.
They
bring things that they make. Jewelry, the knitted objects, and paintings. So the participants also will take them themselves and go out to their neighbors and sell biscuits to their neighbors.
That is super. Now, today we're speaking with Linda Ferris and Mike Cosin, a recent addition to the Gathering Place staff. And Linda, we were talking a bit about some of the programs that you have, but I think it would be wonderful for our listeners to know a little bit more about how one could get involved as a volunteer. What are the steps to go through?
It's quite easy to become a volunteer at Gathering Place. Mainly, they could just come down to the program if they let us know ahead of time. And the best way for us to know and for them to know if it's a good fit is for them just to observe for a little while.
So you welcome visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And would they reach you by email or phone, or what's the best way to contact you to volunteer?
Email is great. Our email is gathering, gathering, at olympus.net. Our phone number is 360-385-4172.
And do they need any particular training?
They don't need training. What they need is compassion for people who are just a little bit different.
Mm.
And when they get there, they're probably amazed at how much they receive in return from just coming to work with our people with disabilities. They go home and think they got more benefit than helping with the participants. There's an inner feeling to all of us on the staff and volunteers and board members that just know how much they're helping others and how good it makes them feel.
Well, Mike and I were talking earlier about, you know, his passion coming out of the experience of having an older sister in his family. And Mike, you recently moved to the Port Townsend area, and that's one of the first things you sought out was the Gathering Place. Is that right?
Actually, I'm trying to think what came first, Port Townsend or Gathering Place. Gathering Place, in a sense, came first. We actually met in Hawaii back in 2001.
We being Linda Ferris.
They were there in Kona having lunch, and my wife and I and our kids were in Kona having lunch, and we happened to be sitting next to each other at an outdoor eatery and happened to strike up a conversation, you know, because obviously I could tell that my people again, you know, we were talking earlier. And we ended up parting ways, and I kind of looked at my wife and said, well, I sure messed that up. She says, why is that? I said, well, I should have at least gotten a name and number or something, because we could have become pen pals.
Oh, and because you're working with an organization?
Down in California.
I
thought it'd
see.
Be kind of neat for us to have a similar program that we could, you know, set up something to do with. So that was kind of a lost opportunity. Years later now, 2004, we're on a trip with the family, and we're going up through the Pacific Northwest to find a place to buy a retirement property, et cetera. And we end up buying in Port Townsend. Now, jumped about 2005, 2006, I'm back in my office at work going, you know what? I remember that missed opportunity back in Hawaii in 2001. I wonder if there's any place up in Port Townsend that would be similar to our program that I can still develop this pen pal situation with. And when we go up to visit our property or meet with the builders, we can deliver a birdhouse. We can, exchange things, just open up some kind of communication. So I went online, and after a long and arduous search trying to find a place, ended up finding Gathering Place via actually an artist's website.
I see.
You know, it's just an insignificant way to find them. And so I ended up writing Linda a Dear Linda letter.
Well, no, it was Linda.
Of just saying, hi, you don't know me, but I run a program down in California that looks similar to yours. And I got this idea. I don't know why I kept talking on this email. I said I had this idea back in 2001 when I met this group in Hawaii. She writes me back literally 15 minutes later and goes, oh, my God, it's you. It was the same group from Hawaii.
And I had just driven through Atascadero near where he worked, and I had no idea. But we were down in California and then came back home.
So years before, you met Linda, didn't get her name, didn't get her contact information. Now you are in Port Townsend trying to make your way into a new home and community with the intention of finding some connection with this population.
Absolutely.
And it turns out to be Linda.
Yep.
Talk about destiny. So now you're on staff.
Now I'm on staff.
And how is that going for you?
I'm basically a facilitator. I think coming from a larger program down in California and a lot of the fundraising opportunities and different things that our organization down in California was able to do, Linda was pretty much saying, you know, those are my dreams also. Let's get there. And so I'm really here to facilitate her dreams and to help her move in the direction she wants to move.
So tell us a little bit about some of your future forward ideas. So you mentioned earlier customizing, what was it, goal setting? What did you call the program that Mike?
The community guide?
Yes. Tell us about the community guide.
Yeah, community guide is just that. In fact, I'm meeting with an individual tomorrow with, I'll call the service coordinator, because that's what we call them in California. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, one, ascertain whether I'm a good fit with this gentleman, because it is his choice, and then talk about goals, things that he wants to work on. So it could be anything in the community. You know, like you said, it could be public transportation. It might be learning new job skills. It might be, I want to go fishing. You know, it's something, but giving him the opportunity to do what you and I take for granted.
So a little bit of a mentoring partnership? Or
mentoring. It could be anything from working on social skills.
Sure.
Fitting into the general population a little easier for some of these folks can be a little difficult at times.
Now, how does the community guide scale up? So you have so many hours and you are also on staff and you're looking at developing menus of event planning or other programming. Is the community guide something that a volunteer might find themselves doing down the road, or is this a very specialized
aspect
of your work?
Aspect of it. I mean, you have to be the background checked and fingerprinted the whole bit and be an employee thereof. It wouldn't be a volunteer type of thing.
We're contracting with the state of Washington to receive funds for providing community guides.
Okay, so it's a state-designated role that is kind of, there's a template out there.
Right.
I see. Tell me a little bit more about the other things you'll be doing with the Gathering Place.
Well, what we're doing right now is implementing new classes, new schedules. Mm-hmm. My wife, who retired from the Paso Robles School District after 27, 28 years with them, something like that, is actually going to be teaching a sign language class. And also an academics and independent studies class where individuals can come and work on what it is they need to work on. One thing I noticed in my program back in California is that I would have our individuals sign their annual report that we would do a meeting, and I'd realize going back looking through their annual reports that, gee, she used to be able to write her name in cursive, and then it turned into printing, and then it turned into maybe just her initials, and now it's turning into a kind of a scrawl you can't even read. We're not maintaining skills that they used to have. And so we're going to work on maintaining as well as maybe adapting and getting some of those skills back, getting our individuals to, what if they're out and just get lost in the community?
Right.
Can they answer simple questions to a policeman? Yes, this is my address. This is my phone number. This is...
And that's a targeted program, a life skills program, if you will.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's just an example of one thing. Somebody else may just want to work on using a calculator, work with their reading, work with their writing, just kind of whatever direction that they feel that they need some help in.
Well, you've really jumped in both feet, and you've been here less than 2 months, a little over 2 months,
three months.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so we're doing that. We're doing a class called Creative Mechanics. I started this class back in California. I used to take an old video camera around and take pictures of my participants doing various things. Then we can, you know, throw the tape in and watch it. Well, one day the camera broke. And so I had one guy that was always interested in anything mechanical. And I said, hey, Mike, why don't we take it apart? And he got all excited. So I went and got my toolkit and we took the thing apart. It took 2 or 3 days, had 5 or 6 people around a table. And we took the thing apart down to every little, you know, nut and bolt and screw.
I want to take that class.
And we just had a blast with it. And then I turned to him and said, okay, now what do we want to make out of this?
Oh.
And one guy raised his hand and said, let's make a robot.
Oh my goodness.
We ended up making this robot. We spent about the next week, you know, putting the thing together, and it rolled around on wheels and it had a jaw that opened up and down, and the lights that used to be on the camera then became the eyes, and it was just a blast. So from that, I developed this class called Creative Mechanics. When I get off work, I go grab a beer, I go out in the shop, I work, I tinker on something. These guys, what do they get to do?
Yeah.
You know, so you bring it to them.
You know, it occurred to me as you're sharing this story about creative mechanics is that some of the programming is driven by the participants, but does some of the programming also get driven by the volunteer who comes to you saying, I'd like to get involved?
Hey, absolutely, because it's one of those things that a lot of these things, they're not going to ask you, can we take apart the computer in the corner when you're done with it?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when you get out some tools and ask what they want to do it, their eyes light up and you go to town. So that's what's a lot of fun. So that developed into a class where I was actually getting, and we don't need this now at this point, but we were getting donations from thrift stores and things like that, you know, be a microwave oven, a hair dryer, just all this random stuff, boombox radios. And these guys would, we'd take it all apart and catalog the parts. And I had Tom over there making a Jeep and somebody else making a rocket ship and somebody else making a race car out of an old woman's hair dryer. Or, you know, it was just a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
And so I see this class here doing a lot of the same things, maybe doing kind of stuff along the lines of, it's not really steampunk, but, you know, embellishing birdhouses with random circuit boards. And
so, you know, it just really, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we just have a few more minutes to the program, and I just want to make sure we insert another opportunity to help folks get involved with your organization. And Linda, if I'm interested, and we talked briefly about it, they really should observe and stop in and contact you. Do you have any other particular needs other than volunteer manpower you're working on that we could introduce to our audience to just know about, whether or not you've got a fundraiser or you do the dog biscuits? You also have a calendar we haven't mentioned, I don't believe.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about the calendar. It is our 25th calendar because it's going to be our 25th anniversary coming up in 2019. The calendar has really been the main source of our funding in the beginning.
Well, when I was at your building, I saw a couple who had come here on vacation and was looking specifically for that calendar. It's well known.
Yes, it goes to probably 14 countries around the world. We ship it to at least 36 states or people who buy them for Christmas presents, ship them out all over, and they're becoming very popular. So we're so thankful to the artists who have donated their work to these calendars for many, many years. And Jesse Watson is an excellent designer.
And so if folks wanted to buy this calendar, how would they find it?
Right now, 2018, it is a beautiful calendar, but they could go on our website at www.gppt.org, and there is a way that they could order it. They could also give us a call, 360-385-4172, and I just wanted to have a final connection to Hawaii, that in 2018, Jesse and I went to Hawaii twice, and we partnered up with four nonprofits over on the islands, and we got art donated by Hawaiian artists, and so we actually had two calendars in 2018.
I'm so moved. I think about, here's a mom with Megan who starts to look for something to supplement her daughter's life post-high school, and look, the connections you've made and the lives that you've really impacted with your organization. If you haven't had a chance to go check out The Gathering Place, I'd strongly encourage you to visit The Gathering Place down at Hudson Point. It is a place that will put a skip in your dance. It really will. I really appreciate you taking the time today, Linda. And Mike, welcome to the community.
Thank you.
Mike Kosin and Linda Ferris from The Gathering Place. And I am Missy Nielsen, your host. Our sound engineer is Larry Stein, and editing for this program is in the expert hands of Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Thanks.